Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
It's a beautiful day to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, because what matters today is what happened here. Everything that happened here matters today. Yeah. And if you're new here, I'm so glad you came. I'm really glad you came. You know, there's something that I like football. I'm a football person. I live and breathe the Houston Texans. Go Texans. Go H-Town. Anyway, so I kind of liken Easter Sunday to Super Bowl Sunday, right? And the reason is because it is truly like the biggest day of the year. When you think about it, it's kind of like the Super Bowl that my Texans were supposed to be in back in February. But I'm moving on next year. Wait, now I sound like a Cowboys fan. This is our year. Anyway, sorry. I can't help myself, y'all. Anyway, back to the point. It's a really important day. And it's a really important day. But what's interesting to me is that it doesn't get all the hype that some of the other holidays get when you think about it. Like, think about it. Christmas, they're about to start putting stuff out at Hobby Lobby. Seriously. They start doing that in the summer. I mean, we're trying to just enjoy the summer, and they're already got us thinking about Christmas in December. And for Easter, it's not really like that. It's almost as if it gets kind of lost somewhere between Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. However, Easter Sunday is the most important day of the year. And you know why? It's the foundation of our Christian faith. People aren't the foundation of our Christian faith. Christians are not the foundation of our faith. You know, I know a lot of people don't even want to come to church because of the Christians, right? And I'm not talking about nobody in this room, of course not. But I'm just saying, sometimes people get it twisted and they think that Christians are the foundation of the Christian faith, but they're not. It's actually Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. And Easter Sunday is a good day to kind of reset our thinking about that. And to be reminded of the real foundation and why we even gathered here today together. So you picked a great day to come to church. Amen. You know what? Before I get started, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I'm just so grateful for this day. I'm grateful for every life that is in this room, for every family that's represented in this room. Father, thank you for the children over in the Next Gen area. I pray that they see you, meet you, and get a touch from you today, Father God. I thank you for all the volunteers that have come together to make this a beautiful, special day. Lord, I just love you, and I thank you most importantly for the finished work of the cross and that the tomb is empty. Thank you, Father. Thank you for resurrected Jesus. And God, I pray today is somebody's one day that they come and they meet you, Lord. Father, push me out of the way. I pray that you speak through me. I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the breath in my lungs. I surrender it to you, Father. Have your way today. And speak through me. Say what you will, Lord. And I pray that your word changes all of us from the inside out. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Savior. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, let's totally hand clap for Jesus. I think that's worthy of another hand clap, y'all. I mean, it's no light matter what we're celebrating today. Whew, it's a day that changed the world forever. And you know, right now, all over the world, millions and billions of people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And you know what's interesting is he was just a simple man. And he had a very short life, only 33 years on this planet. A very simple man. He was a Jewish carpenter, never walked or went anywhere more than 30 miles from his home. Literally, never wrote a bunch of books, never had a podcast, wasn't streaming his sermons online. Yet a third of the world's population is gathering right now in his name. And you know why? It's because Jesus is the only one who changed the entire world forever. And he wasn't the leader of some movement. You know, like this really nice guy who came along to make the world a better place to live or to make our lives easier. Actually, and this is probably going to mess with some of y'all's theology, Jesus didn't come to make the world a better place. Yeah, he cared about people, absolutely. But his focus was always on eternity, always on the kingdom of God and salvation. Jesus didn't come to start a movement, y'all. He came to transform people through the personal relationship with him. Mm-hmm. You know, movements come and go. Ideas rise and fall. But Jesus came to offer something deeper, stronger, eternal. Jesus came for a relationship and not a religion. Not a religion. You know, actually throughout history, people have tried to turn faith into a system of rules and traditions and religious performance, but that was never the heart of Jesus. Never. In the New Testament, we read that Jesus actually challenged religious systems all the time. And it's because, this is why he challenged it, because it focuses on outward behavior and it ignores the heart. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, open up and read Matthew. Not right now, you can do it later. But look at Matthew chapter 5 and 6. He went ham on the religious people. He lit them up because all the stuff they were doing. Matthew chapter 6, now you can't open that one up. Matthew chapter 6, New Testament, first book of the New Testament, Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 6, verse 1. And this is what Jesus told the people. He said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Wow. Then later on, he goes on to say, when you give to the needy, don't go around telling people all about it, posting it on social media. Look at me, look at me. Well, he didn't really say that about social media, but you know what I'm talking about. So don't be telling people about all your good deeds. Because you know what? He said, if you're doing that because you want them to think you're such a great person, such a holy person, that's the reward you're going to get. Whatever they give you, the attaboys they give you, that's your reward. But God's not going to give you an attaboy when you do that. And it's because you're not doing it for him. You're doing it for yourself. That's Jesus. Don't get mad at me. That's what Jesus said. He challenged the religious leaders all the time. You see, they were the expert in the rules. And they were always so focused on all these religious acts for God, alleged acts for God, yet they missed seeing God when he was standing right there in front of them. They missed it. Nowhere did Jesus say, follow my religion. No, he said, follow me. He didn't invite people into a movement or a religion. He invited them into a relationship. And he's still doing that today. You see, a movement gathers crowds, no doubt, but a relationship changes the heart. Religion says, try harder, then you might be good enough. And Jesus says, come to me just as you are. Jesus meets us right where we are, and he does it in ways that we can relate to him. Yes. So whether we're broken, lost, searching, or just curious, Jesus meets us right where we are. And when you truly encounter Jesus, something begins to change. And it starts changing from the inside out, not the other way around. Because Jesus doesn't want to just improve us. He wants to transform us. Because you see, Jesus didn't come to fix our behavior, make us a little nicer, maybe a little more moral or more ethical. No. Jesus wants to transform who we are. He's not interested in making a better version of ourselves. He wants to make us new, brand new. And he picks up broken pieces of our lives and he creates something new and beautiful with the pieces. He takes hard, cold, hard hearts of stone and replaces them with hearts that are tender and love others. Jesus replaces guilt with forgiveness. He exchanges emptiness for purpose. His transformation of us is a complete change. Have you ever seen one of those transformer toys? I could never figure them things out. I know my grandsons have had them. I'm like, what in the world is this thing? I mean, it starts off at like, I don't know, a robot or something, and they flip-flop, twist, and the next thing you know, it's a car. I'm like, what is this? It's not a robot anymore, it's a car, because it's been transformed. Jesus wants to transform your life. And it's not about the outside. It's about the heart. And you want to know why? Because Jeremiah 17:9 is very clear. It says the heart is deceitful above everything else and desperately sick. Why do you think people do some of the wild things they do? Because they have a sick heart. Jesus knows that our hearts need to be transformed. Proverbs 27:19 says that what's in our heart determines how we act. What's inside of us determines what comes out of us. And when our hearts change, families change. When families change, communities change. When communities change, the whole world changes. Jesus didn't try to change institutions or religion. He worked on individual lives. He met fishermen by the sea, cussing, blaspheming fishermen by the sea while they were catching fish. Dirty, stinky, sweaty, nasty. He met tax collectors at their table while they were stealing people's money. Yeah, yeah. He knew what they were doing. And he met broken people on dusty, dirty roads. And he met women caught up in shady lifestyles right where they were. And through personal encounters with Jesus, their lives were transformed. You know, I believe that some of you here today are searching for something to change things. You want something to change. And I'm here to tell you, it's not something that you need. You don't need a new job. You don't need a new spouse. You don't need a new house. You certainly don't need a new religion. You don't need a TED talk telling you 10 ways to improve your life. No, 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 no. What you need is a new heart. And I don't mean that in any other way, but to say that the moment you give Jesus your heart, transformation begins. Just like he did in the Bible, Jesus is still calling people into a relationship with him, and the invitation is still personal. It's not an invitation to join something. It's an invitation to know someone, to know Jesus. And he still invites people today the same way he did back then. Follow me. Not follow a trend, not follow a religion, not follow a movement. Follow him. And when you follow Jesus, he reshapes your heart, renews your mind, and gives you a firm foundation that'll hold you up through every season of life. That's true. I have been through every season of life pretty much, let me tell you. We got a bunch of kids, and they wild out for years. Been through everything. Probably seen most of it, too. But when your life is built on a foundation of Jesus, none of that's going to rock you and mess you up like that. Because a foundation that's built on truth is steady. And when I say truth, I'm talking about truth with a capital T, God's truth, not your truth, not some podcaster's truth, because there's a lot of that floating around right now. And you listen to a lot of that stuff, and they give you some bad theology, y'all. Be careful with that. Be careful what voices you're listening to. I'm not going to go down that road. Anyway, the point is, a foundation that's built on God's truth, on his word, is solid. You know, we live in a world where truth is constantly changing. I mean, what was true a few years ago, not true so much anymore. I mean, I was reading an article the other day about the COVID lockdown. Y'all remember that when they did the COVID lockdown and all the kids were, you know, supposed to be learning online? Remember that? And this article said that there was a negative effect that it had on the children. They're now figuring that out. And if you remember back then, the experts were saying, oh, it's okay for the kids to learn online. Well, it turns out that wasn't altogether true. That was fed to us as truth, but it not necessarily was. Because, see, some kids don't do so well with online learning. Their learning style isn't compatible with that. They need a real teacher in front of them with real visuals and surrounded by other kids learning with them. But at the time, the truth we were given was that it was better for kids not to go to school. My whole point in all that is the world's truth is uncertain and it's constantly changing. But the truth of Jesus never changes. It's something solid that we can build our lives on. Ideas change with culture. Think about it. Ideas change with culture. I saw something the other day. It was had a millennials in the 2000s and millennial outfits now. Not that, this. What? Ideas change with culture. Like, I don't even know what to wear anymore. I don't even care. I'm a boomer. I wear what I want. Anyway, opinions shift with the trends. But Jesus stands as an unchanging foundation of truth. And we got to be careful building a life based on what's popular today or success that we think we need to make. Or what we think is best for us. Because that ground, if you're building on that, it's going to constantly shift. You know, I grew up in Houston, and back in the 70s, the entire economy of our city was basically built on the oil industry. And a lot of people worked in the oil business. And everything, including real estate, was supported by the oil field. And lots of people made a lot of money because oil was booming until it wasn't. And when the oil bust happened in the 70s, everything changed. You know, we had a neighbor, he lived across the street, and he owned several gas stations. And when all of that went down, he had to sell almost all of them. And a lot of my friends, they moved away because their parents had lost their jobs. And their houses went into foreclosure. The majority of Houston's economy at that time was built on something that could change at any moment. And when it shifted, lives were torn apart. They were torn apart. When you build on anything other than the truth of God, you're taking a risk because everything changes except for Jesus. Jesus never changes. That's a fact. Yeah, I got to get amen on that one because y'all know that's right. Building a life on Jesus is building on a foundation that will never, never, never move because a relationship with Jesus anchors you. That's what the Bible says. He's an anchor in the storms. It gives you purpose. It gives you purpose. It gives you direction. And it gives you something firm to hold on to when everything else is unstable. Movements come and go. But the message of Jesus is not about a movement. It's about Him. You know, in the book of John, there's a story that clearly shows this. You know, Jesus finds out that his close friend Lazarus is really sick. And the messenger tells Jesus, you know, you better hurry up and get there because Lazarus is about to die. But instead of going straight to Lazarus, Jesus did what he did. He took his time. He met people in the street. He healed a woman who couldn't be healed by anything. He does some other stuff. And when he finally does get to Lazarus's house, Lazarus's sisters run out and tell Jesus, you're too late. Lazarus is dead. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. If Jesus came to start a movement, then he would probably want to make people happy, right? Make people like him, do what he thought they would want him to do. Make sure he kind of kept up this image, right? Doing what people expected him to do. But that's clearly not what he did here. He knew his friend was about to die. The Bible even says when he heard of Lazarus's illness, he wept. He wept about Lazarus. And Jesus knew he had the power to heal him. But instead of going over there and handling the business, he waits until after Lazarus dies. That's not a good look if you're trying to get people to join your movement. And I wonder, you know, John wrote the story. I wonder if he thought, man, I better not put this in there. This don't look too good for Jesus. It makes him look like he's cold-hearted and doesn't really care, not even about his friend. I wonder. Yet that story is included in the Bible. Because it clearly shows us that Jesus wasn't trying to build a movement. He was building God's kingdom. He was doing things that pointed others to him, not what he could do for them. Y'all hear what I said? Jesus was always pointing to himself, not what he can do for us. In fact, when he finally gets to Lazarus's house, Jesus sees the sisters and they're distraught. Their eyes are all puffy and red from crying and crying. I mean, they love their brother, and he had just died. And they tell him, if you would have got here sooner, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says one thing. I am life. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. Notice he didn't say, if you believe in my ideas, my parables, what I teach about life. No. Jesus said the one who believes in me will live. Yes. Jesus didn't bring a movement. He brought eternity. Yes. That's what he brought. You know, we're gathered here today in his name because He didn't come to promote a movement. He came to bring us salvation. Eternity with God the Father in heaven. If Jesus was about a movement, when he died on that cross, it'd have been over. The church wouldn't even exist. You wouldn't be sitting here today. But the cross wasn't the end of the story, y'all. All of the Gospels talk about the empty tomb. All of them. And they didn't embellish it or try to leave anything out. This is what the Gospel of Luke says in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. It says, I need you to pay attention to this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away, and when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord. Now, that's Luke's version of the story. But basically, they all say the same thing. And they all included women in the story. Women as being the first one who saw the empty tomb. Women who were the first ones who told the story of the empty tomb. And this is significant, y'all. This is a big deal. Because at that time in history, women had zero credibility. Zero. A woman's testimony was considered unreliable. So for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to all write in the story that it was women who not only found the empty tomb, but they're the ones that told them about it. That's huge. That's huge. If they wanted people to believe them, they probably should have left that part out, don't you think? And to be honest, at first, they didn't even believe the women. They didn't believe them. That's what Luke says. And then he says Peter and John had to go run and check it out for themselves. And then when they get inside, you know what they saw? This is astonishing. They saw neatly folded up grave cloths left behind. Now, in order to understand the significance of the folded grave cloths, we got to go back to when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Stephen, if you'll come. The Bible tells us that when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was still wrapped in grave cloths. He was bound up. And other people had to unbind him, but not Jesus. No. When he rose from the dead, he took his own grave cloths off. Yeah. And not only that, Jesus always goes next level. He stacked them up, folded them up neatly, and left them behind for a reason. Yeah. Jesus wanted everybody to know that freedom came out of that grave. Nothing was bound. Did you hear what I said? Freedom came out of that grave. Nothing was bound. There was no binding. Some of y'all bound up in addiction, anger, unforgiveness. You don't have to be. You don't have to be because Jesus died for you to be unbound from all of that mess. And Jesus left those grave clothes like that because he also knew that people were going to make up a story about him. And they did. You know, God knows what's going on. He knows tomorrow, today, yesterday, knows it all. And he knew that the religious people were going to concoct this story. Oh, his disciples stole his body. That's why it's not there. Well, what thief do you know takes the time to clean up after themselves? No, Jesus took the time to do this intentional, deliberate act of finality. Jesus wasn't fleeing. He was finishing. He was finishing what he came to do, y'all. And that is what convinced John. John still didn't believe. These men. I love men. Bless you in Jesus' name. That was what convinced John. John, who had been walking with Jesus for years, who saw the miracles, who actually did miracles in Jesus' name, he still didn't believe until he saw that. And that's how the gospel spread, y'all. It was too true to deny. Too true to deny. Jesus was never about a movement. He came for something way more important than that. He came to restore a relationship between God and humanity. All y'all. All of us. All of us. He didn't come to just change the circumstances. No. He came to transform your heart. And when you build your life on him, that's the strongest foundation there is, y'all. Because Jesus isn't just a nice idea to follow. He's the living foundation for truth, life, and transformation. And the invitation Jesus gives us is the same simple one it's always been. Follow me. And you know, I know maybe there's some people here today and you're kind of struggling to believe all this Jesus stuff. I get that. You know, maybe you've had a bad church experience. Maybe you went into a church somewhere and you experienced judgment, or you saw a lot of hypocrites. Hypocrites need to be in church. Hypocrites need to be in church. This is where we need to be. Or maybe you just have way too many unanswered prayers and you're discouraged, disappointed in God. That's okay. That's okay. Jesus already knows that, and it's okay. And I know it's hard, but I want to ask you today, on this Easter Sunday, won't you give Jesus just another glance? Because the cross is real. The empty tomb is real. He is real, and he loves you. No matter what you've done, what you've thought about doing, no matter where you were last night, he still loves you. And he truly is the Son of God. He gave up everything to have a close, personal relationship with you. And not just now, forever. That's why he went to the cross, y'all. To pay the debt that our sin created. It was a debt none of us could ever pay. We could never pay it. So Jesus did. He said, I'll pay for that. I'll pay for that. You see, here's the thing about sin. It separates us from God. So Jesus paid the price of our sin so we don't have to be separated from God. So we can live with him forever, forever and ever and ever. Eternity. Wow. But it doesn't stop there. Because as Jesus came out of that tomb, he left your shame back. He left your guilt. He left your regrets. Your pain, the unforgiveness, he left all that behind. It was all taken away at the cross and left in the tomb. That's what Easter's about, y'all. That's why we're here today. Will you bow your heads? You know, if you would say right now that you do believe what Jesus did, that you do believe that he went to the cross, he died for you to be forgiven, and that he rose again from the tomb. If you believe that, and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, right now is a good time for that. You know, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If you believe everything I just said, and you believe the tomb is empty, and Jesus really did rise, and he is the Son of God, I'm going to ask you right now to do a bold move. Just put your hand up real quick. You can put it up and put it back down. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to ask you to ask him for forgiveness and ask him to come into your heart today. It's not about a prayer. It's about a position of your heart. And you've already made a bold move and said, I believe. So right now, just ask Jesus, in your own words, ask him to come into your heart and forgive you and make him the Lord of your life. Real simple. You can do it. You can whisper it. You can say it in your heart. God hears you. He knows your heart. And he's listening. He's here. And he's listening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much. Heavenly Father, I just ask you right now, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you that we can come to you right now because of the finished work of the cross. And we thank you for the gift of a new life in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. We thank you that we can come boldly before your throne and receive mercy and grace anytime we need it. We don't have to go through somebody else. We just go through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege. God, we understand that everything in our lives is determined by the kind of relationship we have with your Son. So, Heavenly Father, I ask you right now, for those who don't know you, quicken their spirits and draw them into you. Draw them into you, Lord. And for those here that have a relationship with Jesus and maybe they've gotten a little off track, or even if they're struggling in some area in their life right now, Lord, maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe somebody has a deep, deep wound and they're trying so hard to deal with a situation on their own. Lord, heal their pain. Heal their pain and work in their hearts. Jesus, I know you don't stop there. I know that you bring complete and total restoration. So I just ask you, Father, to continue what you started today. Continue, Lord. Bring relief to the pain and the hurting. Bring healing to wounds. Lord, crush down pride. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to break down pride, Lord. And for the one who's grieving here today, Lord, bring relief from their pain. Heal their broken heart. Give them the hope that only you can give. Help them understand that you love them and that you bring healing. Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you if there's anyone here who's confused about tomorrow. Maybe they're searching for a job.